Not waving, but drowning. Emotions. Emotions. Are they a blessing or a curse? What are emotions anyway? Are you waving or drowning? To answer some of these questions, I find myself drawn to the Old Testament and Psalm 22, where David speaks out his emotions to God. He says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry to you by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest yet. I've always been amazed that these are the same words that Jesus spoke on the cross over 1,000 years later in Matthew chapter 7, verse 46. What a desperate plea from deep pain and grief. David goes on to say that he is a worm and not a man. Sounds like he feels worthless. He says that his tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. That sounds like anxiety and fear to me. He also says that he is in the dust of death, yet he calls out to God for rescue. How many of us can't or won't call out for rescue? How many of us seek rescue in the wrong things because of emotional pain? In fact, if you could call out for rescue, who are you going to call? And please don't say Ghostbusters. I've been aware for a long time, probably most of my life, that many of us find feelings and emotional triggers difficult, unsafe, often terrorizing, leading to behaviors that can be unhealthy and keep us stuck in toxic patterns. We may love God or not, yet stay stuck in the internal scream of emotional pain. Even after years of working through some personal traumas, I'm reminded of a time, a few years ago now, when a friend asked me to think about two words to explain my feelings and to write them down. And I wrote the following two words, drowning and fear. I've put off writing this blog and procrastinated for months as it's not something that I want to share really, and to write about it because it means that I must feel uncomfortable emotions, and I much prefer to be in control of my triggers and hide in the numbness of a checked out life. However, I know that if God puts something on my heart, then it's usually for a reason. So I'm continuing to push through from a previously checked out life and giving myself permission and space to feel what I need to feel. If I had a default button for emotions, it would be to procrastinate, control, ignore, detach, hide, run, distract, and stuff down feelings to remain invisible and safe. When I became aware of my buttons, I used to think that they would stop me from feeling. They did for a long time until they eventually stopped working, and all the feelings that I had kept stuffed down poured out anyway, all at once in emotional overload. I know that I'm not alone in having default buttons that block feelings, because many of you reading or listening to this have told me yours, and I know that most of us feel overwhelmed emotionally sometimes and don't know what to do with those feelings. So how then do we navigate life's emotions, good and bad? How do we deal with emotions that have never been felt? Why is it so hard to feel the uncomfortable? Do buried feelings ever die? Why is it that just when I forget to feel my feelings and go back to controlling and hiding my emotions, someone asks me, when's the next blog out and what is the topic? You see, I like asking questions, especially to God. He usually gives me an answer, but sometimes I don't like it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26, if anyone is to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sometimes I hear myself shouting, but why does it have to be so hard? And I don't want to pick up my cross daily. That's the child in me having a bit of a tantrum. So, if I have to pick up my cross daily, does that mean that I also have to feel my emotions daily? Because I'm not sure I want to, as my emotions are often heavy and can be difficult. Can I really go through the process of feeling my emotions fully and come through the other side? Can you? The conviction in my heart drives me on, so here is my take on feelings and triggers. I say triggers here because when I get triggered, it certainly feels like I'm about to be shot. I had two types of emotional life. One in which I can let go and feel my feelings, knowing that I have hope and will come through. And the other type is a white knuckle rag consisting of control, pain and abandonment. The triggers were the same, yet the outcomes very different. Your life experiences may be different to mine, yet I know that feelings are universal and we all have them. Ask yourself, what do I do with my feelings? Do I seek to control and bury them alive? The area of emotions and feelings has always been challenging for me. And so writing this blog has meant that I've had to deep dive under the water with my eyes open, waiting for an emotion to appear. I've faced some stressful and unusual situations recently that have pushed many of my buttons to the extreme, forcing me to feel many emotions at the same time. I've even had to go looking for some feelings that I didn't like. You'll never guess what I saw. I saw some sharks, some stingrays and a few clownfish. I'm sure the clownfish said his name was Nemo. I can often find myself going round in circles to distract myself from any and all emotions. This is the equivalent of a child putting the fingers in their ears, shouting la 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 la. The truth is that it took me a long time to swim in the ocean of emotions, and sometimes I still go under. Emotions really are as deep as the ocean for some of us, because the fear of feeling the difficult ones can often be overwhelming. The Bible talks about being sober-minded. Imagine that, being sober in your mind all the time. My emotional life has been far from calm and sober. It's been more of a stormy blast that settles briefly before the waves again take me under. I sometimes feel that I'm going to drown, but then the waves still themselves for a brief time before returning. It can be like a cycle of drowning, recovering, and then repeating this process over and over. How exhausting. Are you always in the water, waiting for the next wave? I find myself asking God, how many times will I almost have to drown? Where are you, God, in our emotions? I've asked these questions over the years as my relationship, trust and faith in God has grown. And guess what? He gave me the answer very clearly. Before I talk about the answer, I'm drawn back to a time that I remember reading a short poem called Not Waving But Drowning by a poet called Stevie Smith many years ago in my early 20s, years before I knew the love of Jesus. It's worth taking time to read it. It says this: nobody heard him, the dead man, but still he lay mourning. I was much further out than you thought, and not waving, but drowning. Poor chap, he always loved larking about. And now he's dead. It must have been too cold for him. His heart gave way, they said. Oh, no, no, no. It was too cold always. Still the dead man lay mourning. I was much too far out all my life, and not waving, but drowning. I remember reading this poem for the first time like it was yesterday. It was one rare moment in time. Everything stopped, and I felt connected to something. Imagine feeling connected to a drowning man in a poem, connected to the frantic waving, the help me, connected to the isolation and emotional pain of being dead and still mourning, connected to being misunderstood and the sense of a deep accepted sadness of life. Were you aware, reading the poem or listening to that poem, of the huge gap between inner feelings and outward appearance? If not, go back and read or listen to it again. You see, I connected to this because I was drowning too. Why could I not speak out, help me? Why was drowning easier than dealing with my feelings? The answer was that I actually didn't know how to speak out what I was feeling, and I didn't have a clue what I was feeling anyway. Instead, I learnt to use food instead of feeling, and I mean really use and abuse food. Binge eating mainly. Food to soothe. Food for everything, to soothe the shame, to soothe the abandonment, the anger, the sadness, the loneliness. Food for exhaustion, food for jealousy, worry, impatience. I developed a cycle of self-hatred and a way of staying safe. Or so I thought, oh, anything rather than feel. So much fear. In the Bible, there's a scripture that says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I spent most of my life living in fear and punishing myself. In fact, I came to expect punishment, and I did a powerful job of punishing myself and others. Without Jesus, this was my reality. We're not alone in running from our feelings. In 1 Kings 19, verse 3 to 5, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He sat down and prayed he might die. You see, I believe emotions buried do not die, but sit in the body and the mind lurking until a little trigger comes along to take a shot as our body and mind prepare to run or fight, as the chemicals run through our bodies, as we react rather than respond to whatever it is we are feeling. I get shot often. The trigger can come from nowhere, but for me, it usually comes from an unhealed, buried place. My triggers are many, and they're still working their way to the surface. I'm still learning how to process emotions as they come up, and find myself dealing with the ones that rise up in triggers from the past. Maturing emotionally has not been a natural progression for me. I can remember peeping from behind doors in my childhood home as a child, watching my mum's reaction to things going on around her. My mum and dad were emotionally unavailable due to their own upbringing and grief of losing a daughter. Through no fault or intention on their part, it was impossible to connect them emotionally and physically. I studied my mum closely, waiting for an opportunity to connect. I don't remember there being one. I'm sure there were some moments, I just don't remember. I have a lot of blanks. I think I was trying to find and watch for a place or a time to fit in. Childhood can be a lonely time for many, as it certainly was in our family, as each sibling and parent disconnected from one another for survival. I was so disconnected that I used to think or pretend I was adopted, even going to the length of looking for a certificate. I was also deemed a sensitive child, something which I tried to hide too. I always had a desire to find answers to questions, though, about who I was. What is my identity? What was it? The problem was I didn't know what questions to ask, and I couldn't put into words what I was feeling. I just knew I felt disconnected from life, disconnected from my body, and trapped in my mind. I didn't know my need for God. I knew I needed something. other than myself, I had to get to a place of trying everything to bury alive my feelings until they started to scream so loudly. I had to know life in the grave so that I could know my need for God. I had to ask for help. So what is healing and what's God's answer for our emotions? Again, I can only speak from my own experiences. Yours might be different. But for me, the answer, after decades of masking, of lying and cheating and being dishonest, decades of hiding and self-sufficiency, eventually came as a man who died on a cross and rose again. I know that sounds insane to anyone who's never met Jesus, but it's my story and I can only speak about my own life. The Bible is filled with examples of Jesus having emotions and stories of him feeling emotions deeply. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out in pain and anguish. Yes, he cried out. He then submitted himself to God. He didn't ignore his own pain or numb it down. He felt negative emotions like anger. And in Mark chapter 3 verse 5, he looked round in anger and was deeply distressed at the people's stubborn hearts. In the Bible, Jesus is seen to have joy too when he celebrated at weddings and festivals. And he said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." That's in John 15 verse 11. When someone told me that if I believe in Jesus, then I shouldn't feel anxiety and fear, and perhaps I didn't have enough faith, I sensed inside they were wrong. So I went to the Bible and prayed, and it's so clear that Jesus felt all of his emotions fully, in a healthy way, and he moved through whatever it was he was feeling. And he shows us how to treat one another when they're hurting emotionally too. We're meant to share in each other's emotions, in each other's lives, in each other's suffering. I came to realise that emotions are not the problem. It's our response to them that causes the problems. Responses to emotional neglect, our response to grief, our responses to suffering, pain and trauma, our responses to joy too. So if Jesus didn't ignore his pain, why do we think that we can get away without facing ours? We are meant to feel our feelings. They come up anyway eventually. We can feel them or we can stay stuck. It's a choice. I'm learning that often my feelings connect me to God and others anyway. And it's this that brings me through. I always come through. Can we be present with all our feelings? A few years ago, I'd say no way, yet I'm drawn to trust in the Spirit of God that tells us that we can. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 verse 22 describes the emotional qualities of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and self-control. Yes, please, I'll have those. So if we're made in the image of God, then we are all made with emotions to be felt. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is possible. To manage my emotional responses, I've had to embrace biblical truth. And I'm learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, that still, small voice within me. I'm learning to take thoughts captive to check where my emotions are. I'm learning to ask myself, do I have the fruits of the Spirit? Have I become stuck? Am I hiding again in my default buttons? Am I waving or am I drowning? Or both? Learning to respond to my emotions rather than them being the master of me is a message that the Bible gives. I often find that the renewing of the mind comes with emotional pain. This is usually because I've believed a few lies and they've become attached. And it hurts sometimes when it's time to let them go. So where in the Bible does it show ordinary people like you and me how to process emotions and surrender to God, rather than white-knuckling with anxiety and fear. The Bible is full of people that know they're poor in spirit and that they need God. One of my favourite stories when I was reading about emotion is in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4, and it goes like this. A widow's husband owed a significant amount of money to a man, and the husband died. The culture of the day requested that her two sons be taken to work and pay off the debt owed, leaving the widow without means of financial support. This would mean, in fact, that she would starve. Imagine the fear of losing her two boys and her only means of survival. She went to a man of God, Elisha, the prophet, to ask for help, and his reply always blows my mind. He didn't say, "How are you feeling?" or "Leave this to me, I'll fix it." Instead, he asked her, "What do you have?" She only had one jar of oil to her name. Elisha asked her to go to her neighbours and ask for empty jars, as many as she could gather. Imagine the shame of asking her neighbours for empty jars. She did ask, and her neighbours helped her. Elisha then told her to shut the door and pour oil from her original jar into all the jars that she had collected until there was no oil left. She was instructed to go and sell the oil to pay her debt, and her sons were to live on the rest. That's a lot of oil and a lot of emotion. It struck me that she had to ask the man of God for help. She had to ask her neighbours for help and be obedient. God didn't take away her problems, but he did give her a way out. She had to do something, like we do when we are emotionally overwhelmed. We can choose to hide or run or share with others and God and go through the emotion in a healthy way. I wonder if the widow sold back the oil to her neighbours. What she did do was get up, despite her circumstances. She confessed her problems and emotions. She turned to God and moved through her fear with the help of others. What a great way to heal. I hope that you're still with me listening or reading. I know it's a long one, and I'll finish with this. I was swimming a few months ago thinking about the poem, Not Waving But Drowning, and how many years that I had wasted not knowing there was a way out of drowning. And I saw a picture in my mind of Jesus underneath me in the water, swimming under me and with me. Like David in Psalm 22, where we started, we can cry out to God in our emotion. Like the widow, we can ask for help because God hears our cries. Jesus is the way through that roller coaster of emotions if we only ask him. We don't need to drown. We can wave and know our need for God and swim with him. I don't know about you, but I'm learning to be honest with my feelings. I'm learning to feel my feelings. I'm learning to ask for help and prayer if I need to. And I'm learning to love and receive love. I'm swimming with Jesus, going through and coming out the other side. What will you do? If in reading this you need help or support or want to reach out, please contact Church on the Streets through their website. And just a side note on food addiction, I just want to say this is real. And maybe one of my future blogs will be around this topic and my experiences of this. And there's so many websites out there and online resources, not many in face-to-face, if I'm honest. But there are things that can support you. But for now, please know that you're not alone. God bless, Sarah.